This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Cheyenne Atown.
Happy holidays to you. Welcome to I'm Everything on CKMS 102.7. I'm your host. I'm the hostess for the mostest. I don't know. I was going to rhyme that, but, you know, it's not going to rhyme, okay? But one day it will rhyme. I'll go into a full rap, all right? Full show today. Let's start it off. I want to welcome to this stage, weighing in at a very positively strong and tough, I don't know how much he weighs. I don't want to, you know. But he's a very big guy. So I want to welcome to the stage. Let's turn this down for a sec. Quiet. I want to welcome to the stage one of my good friends. I met him a long time ago. Let's just say that. And he is a very kind man. He is the man of positivity. I'm telling you, here it is. Here's Ben. I want to welcome Ben. You'll get him.
How's it going, man?
So good.
Yeah?
So good.
You just came back from a band practice?
I did. I just came back from my band practice. You know, it's interesting. Shy, I'm 41.
Yeah.
I'm starting a new band. I started a new band, and I feel like a teenager. Especially today, I feel like a teenager. Was late for your show, late for, you know, our meeting. Yeah. I forgot about a meeting today. I canceled a business meeting. Like, I straight up was a teenager today, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with sometimes having the irresponsibility thing come up. I'm okay with that. And I'm saying that because I'm here right now with you, and I'm celebrating that as a 41-year-old man. Yeah. With two children and this new band, I'm allowed to be irresponsible sometimes.
It's true. That's true. Well, I think that the thing is, as long as you know, like, that you are, like, you're like, okay, you're registering that I can be a cat. You know, sometimes people are in denial. That's the thing, when they don't know they are, but you're actually being like, okay, sometimes I can be. So you know that you can be, right? And I think that's pretty cool to do. And, yeah, so you're 10 years older than me. I just turned 30, so I'm a young little squirt.
Beautiful, 30. It's a good age.
Yeah. So you're doing this band thing. I totally blanked on something else, but
good. What were you thinking about right there? I'm curious.
Yeah.
Where did you go when you blanked? I'm curious where you went. Because you're thinking about, you said you were 30. I'm 41. You're thinking about age. You're thinking about the show that you're doing. You're thinking about me being irresponsible. What were you thinking about?
Well, I wasn't necessarily thinking about you being irresponsible. I was just thinking, like, I think it's just cool how, you know, it's cool to, like, still, like, you know, 41, 30, 50, whatever it is, you can still feel young, you know, you can still have that feeling of, like, you know, I'm young, like, you know, even if like, public says, oh, you're 40, you're 50, whatever the case is, but in your head, you're like, you know what, I can be 20, I can be 30. But you just said, like, you know, I just came back, I'm feeling young. I think that's probably what the key to life is, really. It's just like,
it's interesting because I think the key to life is my life. I can't say everyone's life, but my life, the key to living my life is to respect the fact that I'm doing my best.
Right.
Sometimes I know what I'm doing. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. And that's totally okay.
Right.
Sometimes I'm nailing it and sometimes I'm flopping. And when I flop, I apologize to the people that are in the way of the flopping.
Right.
You know, perhaps are affected by the flopping.
Yeah.
And when I nail it, I celebrate the nailing it. I'm like, I am crushing right now. I'm amazing with my kids. I do it. I'm like, guys, I made the best dinner tonight. You guys taste that? This dinner is amazing. I'm an amazing father. And they're like, Dad, you're crazy. I'm like, no. I need to do this right now because I spent my lifetime beating myself up, and I'm going to celebrate the moments where I'm crushing it.
Yeah. I think most people should do that. Most people should like appreciate how they are in life, you know, if they're doing a positive impact on other people, because you forget about it. And then it's like, kind of like when you forget about it, how do you know, like, what's the point of doing it then? If you don't actually like gift yourself in some type of way, whether it's being like positivity or maybe going out and getting yourself something.
Yeah.
I think the reason why I was like, you know, you said, oh, like I'm late. I was like, that's fine. Like, to me, I'm a pretty chill person. And if someone is like, has that open communication, I don't care. Like, they could be like, you know, I'm late. That's fine. They're telling me I can't do, you know, I'm not going to scold someone for being late. It's life. You can't expect everyone to be like front and center, right? But it's like, as long as you have that dialogue, that's all that matters. And that, I think that's like, I don't know, maybe that's, hopefully that's the key to living longer. I'm hoping.
Hey man, we're here right now, you know, like a lot of us aren't, and many people these days are struggling and not making it through. So, you know, paying my respects to them, but I'm also paying my respects to us who are still here.
Right.
In the interview right now, you know, people listening, like we're alive and,
right.
And we need each other. Like I need to, you know, can I swear on the show or no?
Yeah.
I need to fuck up because I need my people around me to know that I'm a human being.
Yeah.
That fucks up. I need my children to know that I'm a human being that fucks up. And I'm also a human being that is responsible and accountable. Like, Chad, when I didn't show up on time, I'm sorry I didn't show up on time. I'm apologizing that I didn't show up on time. I want to be respectful of your time. And right today, especially just today, I'm like, I'm going to celebrate the fact that I'm fucking up.
Right.
I'm fucking up and I'm okay with that. Because if I beat myself up more about it, it's going to make my day so much more difficult. It's going to make my week so much more difficult. If my people like you are not okay with it, I'm going to hold space. You can tell me, you know what, man, I didn't appreciate that. I didn't like that you were late. And I can be like, I really appreciate you saying that. I really appreciate you speaking up.
I like that. You always bring positive vibes. Always bring positive vibes and clarity. Before we actually get into anything, I guess you didn't introduce yourself, or I didn't introduce you to the people, to the masses of throughout the world. Say your name, what you do, who are you?
My name and what I do, what I do, you know, when you go to a party and someone's like, yo, what do you do? I'm like, hold on a second. You want to know what I do, but you're not interested in who you're speaking to. You're interested in what the person's doing.
Right.
What is that? What is that transaction? I'm not saying that for you. I'm saying that I fall victim to that sense too. I'm like, I don't actually care what you do. I'm curious about who you are, what you're about. Yeah. You do is cool, but that's going to pass, right? Like it's going to, like you're doing this right now and it's going to lead to something different afterwards. It's going to lead to something greater because you are expanding, because your who is expanding. So that was a long way of saying, I'm going to say my name. My name is Benjamin Dusso. Benjamin Florian Dusso.
Florian?
Florian.
Flo. I didn't know that was your real name.
Flo. Yeah, Flo.
Nice.
So I am 41. I've lived an amazing life so far. I'm still alive. And I'm from Montreal originally. And I live here in Toronto right now, Toronto, Canada. And what I do, I didn't say who I am. I'm like trying to lead from a place of love, like heart-centered. Like I want to like, even when things are tough, I want to love, you know, I don't want to fight from a place of hate. Hate's too easy. I want to fight from a place of love. Like, even if I have a problem with you, I want to be like, okay. How am I gonna face this situation from a place of love and empathy for the person that is in front of me, perhaps suffering more than I am suffering? So that's the place I'm coming from, you know, because it's easy to fall victim into hate. So I'm trying to lead from love, and what I do is I help people reconnect with their bodies and reconnect with themselves, especially people who are at like ground zero, who are leveled, who are in pain, who are suffering, and I help them reconnect with their bodies, reconnect with their systems, and giving them opportunity to connect with other support systems. So I do body work. I help people with their body. And that's my Anchored Social Club, you know, business. And that's just like, you know, the thing that it's like my creative expression through movements, through helping people move better and feel better, move through their body and move through life with a little bit more ease. Mm. And I'm also a musician.
Hmm. So we'll touch on the Anchored Social Club. Let's touch on the music Sick. Aspect of it. You've been in a couple bands before this band. I remember us talking in the past about you being on Warped Tour and all that, and you're used to being a I just lost the name that you're in, but I guess what bands have you been in before this one?
Good, man. You don't need to know what bands I've been in. This is why we're doing this. I started touring. I'd say I started playing in bands that were touring bands when I was 17, played in punk rock bands and hardcore bands, metal bands. So I'll give you the list. You ready for the list?
Right.
You want starting from the top, or you want to start from the beginning or the end?
Let's go beginning.
Okay, cool. So I when I was 16, 17, I was a straight edge, angry straight edge, hardcore kid who loved punk rock music. I love pop music. I like all music. I'm a music teacher. I love all music. I love hip hop and metal were my first loves. You know, like early, like 80s hip hop.
Yeah.
KRS-One, Boogie Down Productions,
right.
That kind of stuff. And then metal, like Black Sabbath. So anyways, all that to say that that was the kid that I was in, but I was also, I love pop music. I love, you know, I love all the music. My parents are hippies. So we listen to, like, you know, hippie music, Bob Dylan's, Cat Stevens, Jimi Hendrix, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I started a punk rock band because there's a kid, Luke Brody. He's a couple years older than I was. And he wanted to start a punk rock band, like a pop punk band, like a Lagwagon, you know, MXPX, I don't know, 10 Foot Pole, like all those kinds of fat records, you know, Epitaph bands. And I was like, you're straight edge. I don't give a shit what we play. I just want to be in a band with other straight edge kids. And I just want to play drums. I was the hardcore kid in a punk rock band. Yeah. So, you know, sort of. And so we played in this band called Haligua from 17 till about 18, 19. So Haligua. I love that. It was like a thing. We toured, like we did like mini tours around like Ontario and Quebec. And like I was 17 piling like music equipment on my lap in the back seat, you know, with like three members. Moody was on bass, Mudupe. Shout out Mudupe and shout out Luke Brody. Mudupe Taylor Klein, I'll say his full name. And we just toured. We just did these tours and drove hours upon hours to get to shows. And we did real cool stuff. We recorded demos and we made shirts and silkscreened our own t-shirts. And, you know, this is 96, 97.
Yeah. Back in the day when selling records and selling merch was more important than, you know, than having your music on whatever is now is Apple Music. But back then you needed that. You needed the merch. You needed to go tour. So I think that's cool. You understood the hustle of making music, because a lot of people nowadays, at least in my generation, I mean, maybe not my generation, I think earlier my generation, they don't know about that. They don't know about like having to do that hard work to get to blow up, right? And I think that's cool that you
went through that. I'm not going against what you're saying. I feel like because it's different, it would be easy to be like, you guys don't get it. It's not the same. You don't even know what cassette tapes were. You don't even know about social, like, and that's not true, dude, because there's a different level of connection to the music and to the industry and to the systems that are available to people right now that I don't really have. Like, I don't, it's not that I don't get it. It's just that, like, because I'm from that generation, I'm like, I feel like I need to open up and expand. I need to get together with the younger generation that's like, hey, like we're doing it like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's sick. And I need to learn, instead of being stuck, like, cause it would be easy for me to be an old 41-year-old man who's stuck into the cassette tape and CDs and the hustle. And though I'm with you, I respect what we did back then. It's not what it is right now.
Right.
Preach. So my job with this band, this new band that I'm in, is to pay attention to what it is that I'm bringing, but also what's happening, and seeing if I can find a way to respect what's happening, but also bring my energy and my level of like creativity.
That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the beast. Stand clear. Done, man, attack. You can't stand where I stand. You can't walk where I walk. Watch out. We run New York. Policeman come. We bust him off the park. I know this for a fact. You don't like how I act. You claim I'm selling crack. Will you be doing that? I'd rather say see ya, cause I would never be ya. Be your officer, your wicked overseer. Your hot shot, you wanna get pops and be a savior. First show a little respect, change your behavior. Change your attitude, change your plan. There could never really be justice or stolen land. Are you really for peace and equality? Or when my car's hooked up, you know you wanna follow me. Your laws are minimal, cause you won't even think about looking at the real criminal. This has got to cease, cause we be getting hyped to the sound of the police.
Touch on your past band. So you had that band, and then what came after that?
So Haligua moved to Toronto when I was 18. So two of the band members, Luke and Moody, moved to Toronto. I moved with them. I was 18 years old, going through a shit ton of like hard stuff at home, and it was a good time for me to get out of my place, move to Toronto. Tried to do the band from here, was here for a few months, didn't work, quit the band, went back to Montreal, and I started a bunch of different bands, small bands that were like trying to, you know, you know, it was different, like just different bands. Well, I was in a new metal band at one point. Interestingly enough, around the same time. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. We're talking about this because I forget about it sometimes in the grand scheme of my musical history. But around the same time, Simple Plan was starting up, and I sang in Simple Plan at the beginning.
That's crazy. Well,
yeah, but they weren't Simple Plan at the time. They were like some. They were called something like. What were the Touchdown or something? Or yeah, I think it was called Touchdown or something. And then they were like, but they were already working with major labels, and they were already signing they already had the plan.
Yeah.
And I was this 18-year-old punk kid, hardcore kid that wanted to just have fun. And they were musicians, really great musicians that wanted to take it seriously and then wanted to be huge. Their plan was to be huge, and they did it. And they're amazing musicians. It was like a gift to play with such great guys, and then they're also really, really cool dudes. And I wasn't ready. I didn't want to jump into that hype. I didn't want to jump into like that I didn't want to be famous. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like it wasn't part of my path.
Hmm.
You know, if that makes any sense. So left, and then they became huge, and that was cool. But there was boy bands that like were asking me to play, and they were like big in Europe. And I was like, it was just because I was like a good looking 18-year-old, you know, 6 foot something white kid, you know, it's like easy access. Like I had this golden ticket to like, you know, what society is deemed to be valuable, you know, which is a bunch of nonsense. It's valuable, but it's only valuable if like you do something that's inclusive of other people with it, you know? So, and so I chose to play, in a hardcore band. I started a hardcore band with, Fred. I spoke to this bunch of hardcore guys, these older hardcore guys that were that I looked up to, and I was like, I want to start a band. What do you play? They're like, I play guitar. I was like, sick. I was like, let's get. And I was like, Nick was the guy who moshed at every show. Would just like, you know, he traveled around to the States and went to every show in the States. And he was like, he was kind of our celebrity in Montreal, the Montreal hardcore scene. And I was like, Nick needs to sing. And it's like, I was like, Nick, you need to sing in this band. He's like, I don't sing. I'm like, you're going to sing in this band. And he's like, fine. And then we started this band called A Death for Every Sin, which ended up being like so hard, dude. It was such a hard, like, we're just like, we're not hard dudes. I mean, I'm not a hard dude, but I'm not like a street dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can hold my own if I need to, but I don't fight like that. You know, like it's not how I grew up. So I don't front like that, you know?
Yeah.
But we can hang. We can hang. Mm. So that's the beautiful thing is we don't front, but we can hang, you know? Right. So we play the music that we love, inspired by the bands that we love. And some of those bands, you know, are still the bands that we listen to and we love. And so we started this band that got a lot of respect and love from the real hard dudes, you know, I say real hard dudes, the ones that, you know, they suffered and they chose to keep suffering, you know? So, no disrespect to them, but they just, that's their choice. That was their choice, you know?
Right.
You know, I chose to like, not that they don't heal, but I chose to kind of like not feed into the hatred, not feed into the suffering, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I was trying to get out of the suffering.
Right.
I was suffering. I need to get out of it.
Was it hard to get out of it?
I mean, I still suffer, dude. It's not, I'm not out of it. I'm not in the clear, but I have tools and support systems that when I suffer, I reach out to them.
Right.
I have these systems like that I've built for myself that I can check in with myself and be like, all right, I'm hurting. What do I need? Oh, I need to cry. Good, cry. Mm. I need to laugh. I need to hang out with good people right now. I need to go for a laugh. I need to go for a sauna. I need to go for a swim. I need to go for an ice bath. I need to work out. I have all these amazing systems in place to help me suffer less.
Right.
You know what I mean? To soften the blow.
Do you still see like old bandmates or old friends that you try not to really associate with because they still have that and you kind of feel bad for them? Or do you just like separate yourself from that?
It's a good question. I love all my people. Like even though all the ones that suffer and the ones that have chosen to stay on the hard path, I love them all and I'm there for them. And I've really chosen to do what I do so that I can be there for them. Because I really believe in being a support system. But what my problem and what my issue was in the past is that I would be supporting everybody else and I'd never supported myself. I would literally beat myself up, man. Like I wouldn't punch anybody else, but I would punch myself. Like I have scars and I have like damage in my in my face from when times got tough, that I would, and it's sad to say that, and I hurt saying that, but I would punish myself. I would put my head through walls. I would smash myself in the face. And I'm not proud of that, man. I'm not saying that like it's a badge of honor. I'm saying that because I didn't know how else to express it. And I now know, because I'm doing the systems that are about healing and protecting myself and protecting my people that are still hurting, you know? Mm-hmm. So do I feel bad for them? No, absolutely not, man. I feel inspired to help them. I feel inspired to be there for them, though I can't take them away from their suffering. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've chosen to suffer. They're going to do what they do with it. Just that for me to remind them that I'm there is enough sometimes, you know?
Right. So in terms of like the bands you've been, what would you say is your favorite band or your favorite moment on tour, besides like now feeling like young? And I'm sure now is a pretty special moment, but besides now, like, what is your favorite moment or favorite band kind of thing?
Yeah, thanks for acknowledging it now, man. I appreciate that, because I do feel like it's a powerful place to land, man. Like, to be super present and just to be like, I made it. I'm a 41. I made it. Done some cool shit. And I want to talk about that cool shit right now with you. Favorite moment. Wow, this is a good... Okay, because I'm a dad, there's a fun story. I'm going to drink some water right now because... expressing some emotion here. Hold on. Okay, so in 2004, I was touring with Throwdown. Throwdown was a band from Orange County, California, straight edge hardcore band. Love those guys. Still love those guys. And we were in El Paso, Texas. Texas is like one of my favorite places to play, like San Antonio. They call them the Slatanic Hispanics, like just like psychotic Mexican, you know, border guys. Yeah. San Antonio's border, but like, you know, like the you know, it's whatever. Yeah. It's respect, but it's like, you know, Mexico and Texas are real close. And so there's like, you know, there's that crossover is what I'm saying.
Right.
So they, some of those dudes from, I guess, Juarez. No, not Juarez. What's the place across the border from? Or, oh, is it Juarez? No. Yeah, it's Juarez. I have to Google that later, but maybe you do. I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Let's scratch that. We don't even know. Juarez. Let's say Juarez. And they would go to the shows that we were playing. And I was in El Paso. I'm saying that because I love Texas and I love a lot of places, but Texas is like this hard and soft place. Like, they love hard music, but they're heart centric. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're approaching it from their heart. So all that to say that I was walking around El Paso right on the border, like right on the border of which I think is Juarez. And I'm obsessed with this. I want to get this right. So apologies for anyone who's listening. Just give it up, dude. You're in El Paso, Texas. Good. I'm in El Paso walking around the border town, which is kind of sketchy, but it felt right. I love it. I love those areas. I feel comfortable in those areas. We have like dudes checking us and, you know, seeing what we're about. And I'm like just checking to see like what the store is, the souvenir stores. And I see there's like a sneaker shop, a sneaker shop. And I walk in and I love sneakers. And at that point I was buying, you know, quite a bit of sneakers and I had a bit of an obsession with sneakers. I still kind of do, but I walk into the sneaker store and I see all these amazing old sneakers from like the 80s. I'm like, what? The hell is this? Like, I just walked back into time, into this incredible place with these like old, like, you know, old sneakers. I don't even want to go through the list. There's too many.
Yeah.
But one pair, there's, I don't know if you're familiar with LA Gears, but LA Gears, and they had this LA Lights. They had the lights that they lit up. All right. They were like a big shoe and they were kind of like, you know, they didn't really ever catch on too big in the sneaker world, but they had some heat at a certain point. And I remember them from my childhood. And we didn't have money growing up for that kind of stuff. So, you know, we didn't have that. Like, I, you know, wore jogging pants and like, you know, knockoff like Converse, you know?
Yeah,
and that's fine. We did what we did and we had what we had. And I appreciate everything that my parents did for us. I truly do. And I walk in the store and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, what am I going to pick up? And the one thing that I picked up was a pair of kids LA Gear, LA Lights sneakers, like, amazing colorways, teal, black, just high tops, so cool. I was like, I didn't even know what I was doing, man. It was 2004, 25 years old, whatever age I was. And I was like, I'm going to buy these kids' shoes. And maybe one day, who knows, maybe I'll have kids and maybe they'll wear them. Maybe not. Maybe I'll just give them to someone.
Yeah.
And my kids ended up wearing those sneakers, both of them. So
damn.
That was a fun, like, I held on to those sneakers and they still lit up when my kids.
It's like you knew subconsciously that, you know, there's this theory. I have this theory about our life, and this kind of goes back to this. Our life is not like a beginning and an end. I think our life is happening all at the same time. Yeah. So while we're having this interview, you're in the El Paso, and you're also, your kids are also being born. So, you know, it's happening at the same time. And I think when you bought those shoes, I'm telling you.
You're spitting some real amazing, deep, connected spiritual stuff. I'm loving this, man. I love it. Because I even think about that, like time, lineage, and all right. That kind of, I believe in that. I don't really consciously, you know, and on this realm get it. But when I travel and like I go like and do my work, I'm like experiencing some real deep stuff. So you're bringing it to that level, and I appreciate that. Because
right.
it felt like that.
I once told my girlfriend, I was like, how come our past life is the like, it, so basically, I think my past life is James Dean. Long story. But I was like, what happens if my past life was before James Dean? And then the one before that was James Dean. So my life, so I went like basically to the 1900s. And then the one before that was 19, whatever, 20s.
Yeah. When's James Dean? It's like 50s or something. Is that right?
Yeah. So it went like, so basically I went back in time.
And yeah, then, I got you.
Yeah. And then I don't know.
Yeah, just, like you were 1900. Sorry, you did James Dean before the 1900s.
Yeah,
and then yeah so you were jumping back and forth. I love this, man. I'm all about it.
I don't even smoke weed either, so tells
neither
you.
Neither do I.
So let's talk about your. I like that moment, by the way. I need to actually. I want to visit El Paso, but there's a band you should check out. I think they're called Prayers.
Okay.
And it's Kat Von D's husband. It's like they call it something goth, but it's like I think it's Mexican goth or something that. But it's no Spanish. It's like not Spanish. It's pretty. Anyways,
they I know
gave me those. Yeah. So you're in a band now, and you're feeling young. You're feeling like you're 20. When I first met you, I thought you were 21 with the spirit that's illuminating from you. So talk about the music that you're making now.
Okay. I'm in a band called A Different Approach. And similarly to some of the other bands that I started meaning like I was really hungry for, and I called in the people. I called these people in. So I called every band member that, with the exception of Sally. Sally, so there's, you know, Micah is on vocals, Kate's on guitar, Joseph's on guitar, and Sally's on bass. And everyone other than Sally, I would argue, I called in. I was like, Micah, he didn't know what punk rock was. And I was like, but I was in a men's group with them in a book club. And I was like, Micah, I feel like you need to sing in a punk rock band and I need to be in it with you. He's like, I don't even know what punk rock is. I was like, perfect, you're in. But you have to understand, he's like, this is a, you know, I mean, and again, this is, I'm just talking about currently, he might choose what he wants to choose. He, she, whatever he goes by at the time this comes out, it might very well change. But this is, you know, 6'3", 6'4", Jamaican, queer, drag, you know, he's so expressed. He's so punk already. Like he's more punk than I'm punk. It's like, of course you're gonna be the singer in this group. Like you're doing the thing that I could not even dream of doing, because it's like I'm not that expressed.
Right.
I would love to be that expressed, but I'm not there.
Right.
Yet. You know? Yeah. So so Micah's fronting the band. I play drums, not forgetting about me. Ben's important. And Sally called herself in. I posted a video on my Instagram page and she's like, I want to play bass. I was like, I love you, Sally. You're playing bass. And so now Sally's on bass. So we're doing what we think is punk rock. What we feel is punk rock, but it's but people are like, I don't even know when I show the music to people, they're like, I don't even know really what this is, but it sounds like, you know, most people say it sounds like a mix between the Bad Brains and whatever other band,
right,
you know? So it's like, because it's just expressed in a certain way that feels free.
Right. I love bands like that. Like one of my favorite bands is called Listener, and they don't really sing. They're like more poetic. They have like pretty sick solos in it, and they're very expressive. And I think the best bands are like expressive. Like Idols are really good as well. And just because they don't follow the formula of singing or like having like falsettos, you know, to me, I think a punk band is someone that says, look, this is what we're going to sing about, and I don't care what you guys think about that. So I think that's pretty cool that you're doing that. Is there any songs out for the?
No, we're gonna work. We're gonna record. My neighbor's a recording engineer, Chris.
Nice.
And, he recorded. He recorded a bunch of amazing groups, and I hit him up, you know, a couple months ago. I was like, hey, I'm in this new band, and I really want to record with you. He's like, sick, let's do it. So we're gonna record with him, and. You know, we're doing it at our speed, but we have already 4 songs and they're amazing. Dude, I'm like not even playing when I say this. I am so inspired by everyone that I play in this band with. They're incredible. They're all at different levels. Like right. We've been playing for 2-3 years and they're crushing it. They're bringing their energy and their intensity. And I think that's the point of this is that like, it doesn't matter if I play with all these really cool bands. It's like, can you hang with people who are in like beginner mindset, who are like hungry to grow?
Right.
If I'm stuck, then there's no way for me to even move forward. Like if I'm like, yeah, I did all this cool stuff. You're like, yeah, you're still there. What about right now?
Right.
What are you doing right now? Yeah. And so I'm approaching this with a beginner's mindset, and it's so freeing, man. And I'm playing better. I'm loving it more. I'm loving the process more. I'm loving myself more. I'm still I can be very annoying and controlling. I am,
right.
You know, I have those moments, but ultimately I'm showing up with a lot of like self-love and a lot of love for the process.
Nice. And so whenever you do come out with a song, hopefully I can debut it on my radio show and you can talk about it and the band can talk about it. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
That'd be cool. So speaking of songs, second song of the show.
Second song of the show, Madball.
Yeah.
And we had some time to think about this. So I'm going to choose a similar theme, 5-0.
5-0.
By Madball. Madball is easily my favorite, still my favorite band. And I also happened to play with them for a while. So, but that was just like my 15-year-old kid was super pumped and it forgot that I was like actually playing when I was playing. I was like just singing along. I was like, I love this band. Can I just be in the front? They're like, no, you have to play drums. Okay.
Right.
If I had my Madball would be my song. I see the way that you're looking at me, all right. What you say? Harassing us every chance you get. Where the fuck you gonna leave me, baby? I'm getting sick of your smart ass ways and I don't have to lay your bullshit down.
Back down from you no more. then we'll see. If you got me back, now talk to me. You're the man you claim to be.
All right, so that was Madball. And let's talk about what you're doing now besides the music, making music. You're doing Anchored Social Club. You've been doing this for a while. And I think, like, you're, from what I remember, your workouts and from what you described, it was like basically you just using the environment to work out. So explain what Anchored Social Club means to you and what you're doing for people.
Awesome, awesome, awesome question. Awesome memory too. I'm impressed. So you nailed it, man. I'm really a firm believer in different types of health, you know, social health, you know, mental health, physical health, environmental health. I'm a big fan of all the healths. So, and tapping into all of them. So I'm saying that because Anchored Social Club was like, okay, I want to have a gym. I want to have a club that people can come, a physical club that people can be a part of. And I want it to be an expression of simplicity, back to basics, you know, appreciating the fact that we don't need much other than each other, ourselves, you know, food, good nutrition, water, the sunshine, the rain. Like, we need to experience life from a simple place. Money is also part of that energetic exchange for sure. I'm embracing that now, especially at age 41. You know, the importance of that energy, that flow of energy. So I'm saying that because Anchored Social Club was intentional in the way that I wanted people to experience having a workout, but in an unconventional way that it was using as little as possible. And if we did use equipment and we did have weights, we would have like rice bags and lentil bags, and we'd like lift like duffel bags, and we'd be like, someone's holding a rope that's tied to like the ceiling, but they're holding it on one end, another person's climbing it. The workouts were so fun because people are working out with each other. People are climbing each other. People are pulling each other. They're pushing on each other. And at the end of a workout, when two people who didn't know each other before exchange that kind of energy, and all of a sudden they're like, I want to hang out with you all the time. It's like, what just happened? Why? I'm not in a room with other people and they're next to me, and I'm afraid to look at them because they have their place, spot, right, reserved. Don't go to my place. Don't go to my spot. Do not dare put your foot and your hand into my spot. Whereas I was like, let's get bodies on bodies, interact with your neighbor, push on them, mess with them a little bit, disrupt their comfort, but make sure that they're also okay, and make sure that they're expressing their needs and expressing their wants, and make sure that they're taken care of, but you're taking care of yourself as well. And you're not forgetting that, like, that exchange of energy between two people. So Anchored Social Club was a way to express using as little as possible with just the energy of people, you know?
And from what I remember, you used to have a gym. Mm-hmm. And so now so do you prefer this method over when you did have a gym?
Do I prefer which method?
This method you're doing now, just outside and...
Oh, I see what you're asking. Yeah. Okay, because I don't have the physical location anymore yet. Yeah. The location was bought and torn down by realtors because it was a sick spot. And that's okay. Rest in peace, Anchored Social Club, the physical location. The business is still going. A lot of things have come up between then and now. But I do love being outside. I love being outside as much as possible. I love being inside to support, you know, not freezing our asses off because we're in, you know, Toronto in the wintertime. Yeah. I love the comfort of, like, not freezing, but I also love the conditioning that comes along with, you know, testing ourselves. Right. Like, I jump in the lake all year long.
That's crazy.
Well, you think, but it's like, not that crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's not that crazy.
Like, people have been doing this for forever. We just got comfortable at a certain point. We're like, hot water. You're like, really? What about like cold water? How's that?
So how about this? What's the craziest thing you ever done that's like, that you're proud of?
I am struggling with getting through a fear of heights. I just tested myself the other day. It felt really important. I walked over to a ledge very high up, and it took me like 10, 15 minutes. I had like a meltdown. I had like a cry. I threw a fit. by myself, but I want to like, I want to really like, you know, connect with the why I was doing it. Cause I was like, I don't want to just keep suffering through this. I don't want to be in right. high places and freaking out and having like panic attacks.
Right.
So I need to like support myself in this and trust that I got this. And I'm not going to jump over the ledge, and I'm not going right. to be pushed over the ledge or whatever the fear is, you know?
Right.
And so, I was in Australia one time and we're touring with, a band out there, and amazing band and really amazing guys in the band, and also great band. And they're wild Australians, and they're just like jump off bridges and backflip off, like, and they're just like, all right, let's go. We're jumping off this bridge. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm gonna jump off this bridge. It's pretty high. It's like 50 feet high. I was like, okay, yeah. whatever. This is in Byron Bay.
Yeah.
And then I'm on the edge of the bridge to jump. So the bridge is in the highway.
Yeah.
So in order to jump off the bridge, you have to run alongside or against traffic to get to the center of the bridge, to get into deep enough water to jump off this bridge. And I was at the bottom of the hill to get up to the highway, to run across the bridge, to run along the bridge. And there was a massive spider in front of me. And I was like, what do I hate more right now? Like spiders or fear of heights? And I was like, you know what? I don't want to be around the spider right now. The spider is scaring the shit out of me. It's like this crazy color.
Yeah.
It's huge, huge. And I was like, I'm going to run up this hill. I'm going to run along the highway and I'm going to jump. And dude, I jumped and my hands were like flailing. I was like, I think I like was like probably holding my nose. I was freaking out. I looked like, you know, I just looked so goofy. But right. it felt so freeing, man. And then I got in the water, started swimming. I was proud of myself.
Mm.
And then as I was swimming, one of the mates was like, a lot of sharks, huh? A lot of sharks in here. I'm like, what? There's sharks in here? It's like, made me jump off a bridge into shark infested water. So I made it, man. Didn't get eaten by a shark. And I didn't crush myself on the landing. So
that's crazy. Cause they do have a lot of jellyfish there that are poisonous as well. So you're playing with fire right there. That's interesting. One of my fears is going underwater.
Hmm.
So I got to conquer that one day. I love swimming. I love being in water, but being underwater, I'll have to do a rain check for that.
Okay. Let's work towards that goal, dude. I got you.
I will. Cause if one day I'm dropped in the middle of the ocean, I'll have to think of something, right?
Well, hopefully before you get there, you're like, you know, you've done your practice.
Right. True. So before we end it, I'm going to ask you a couple random, quick, cool questions.
Okay.
Give the answer that comes to your mind first. So, favorite thing about being in music?
Community, connection, and that's it. Community and the connection.
Favorite coffee shop in Toronto?
Ooh, can I say two?
Yes.
There's a lot of great coffee shops, but I'm going to shout out powerful woman, Louisa. She's Mercury.
Mm.
Leslieville.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shout out powerful man, Sam James.
Ooh, I love that.
So I'm going to shout those two out. But there's also amazing coffee shops. So if you have your favorite coffee shop, there's a lot of them. I want to say them all right now, but I'm not going to say them all.
I'll shout out to Impact just because that's how I met you.
Respect. Josh, big shout out to Josh. I think Josh is great.
That's how I learned how to make lattes. So I haven't made lattes in a year, but I learned there and my craft is perfect.
Impact's amazing.
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve. Oh, it's a good one. Pet peeve is when people speak negatively of themselves.
Guilty pleasure.
Cookies. So many cookies. Dude, I make so many cookies and I make really good cookies.
Speaking of cookies, Crumbie Cookie Company is sponsoring my show and they have very good raw cookie dough. So check them out in Uptown Waterloo.
Yo, I want to get on the show with you just so we can sample as much cookie dough as possible from Crumble. Is that right?
Crumbie,
sick.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to do that. This is definitely going to be a two-parter. The second part will probably be sometime in the new year.
Yeah.
Look out for that. Secret to happiness.
Self fucking love.
Favorite TV show or movie?
Right now, Community is crushing me. I love Community. Super fun show on Netflix. Favorite movie? Oh my gosh. The first one that's coming to mind is Stand By Me, My Generation.
In 10 years, you will do what? Be what?
Be awesome.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be awesome.
In 2021, what's your, I mean, I'm not gonna say resolution, but what do you hope to happen in 2021?
Wow. I really want to, you know, this is interesting. We're talking about this. We kind of started with the what, like you asked me, what do I do? And I'm going to bring it back to the end that I really want to respect the what. I really want to respect the transaction of what it is that I do and what people do to honor the thing that I provide them, which is money. I really want to invite the energy of money. And I want my punk rock, pissed off teenage self to stop thinking I'm a sellout because I am worthy of receiving lots of incredible energetic money forms of energy in the form of money into my life. So 2021 is really an invitation to be like, I want to invite the energy of money into my life and know that the who behind it is not compromised.
Right. Last question. What's a fun fact about Ben that not many people know about? Surprising, maybe.
Oh my gosh, I'm such an open book, dude. So it's like, this is a challenging question. Fun fact. I don't know, man. I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about this right now. I'm thinking about, okay, I'm a father of two kids. What do I say here? I want to be like, you know, I want to be also like, I want to be playful. I want to have some fun with this. I'm going to say like, fun fact. Oh my God. Let me take a deep breath. You know what a fun fact is? I'm fucking fun. I'm a fun dude. And whatever you want to interpret that is, I'm super fun. Let's just say that. I'm a lot of fun.
I can attest to that. Even when I was like, just taking your order, I was like, this guy's fun.
Oh, dude, I love that. Because it's like really the thing that I feel like I don't lead with. I feel like I lead with like depth and with like seriousness, and I'm like, I'm actually a lot of fun. Like I can be so fucking goofy, and I love that part of me.
And when you were eating it at the place I was working at, I was like, this guy's so fun, I'm gonna bring him free cookies. Remember bringing free
you mean I paid for them?
Yes. Yes, he paid for them.
In some shape or form,
he paid for them with his friendship. So I appreciate that. Thanks for coming on the interview. We're gonna do this again. This is gonna happen again. Hopefully you can come in the studio. Studio is pretty cool. We're gonna do this again for sure.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Yes. Last song. What would you like me to play?
Okay. It's really important that I celebrate, you know, my friends and the people that are in my life that I love dearly. And one of my friends who I'd like to play music with again and just to jam with, my friend Luke, who and I were in a band with, first band, Haligua. He went off to Mexico and did a solo project, which was incredible. He learned how to speak Spanish, like that. Mm. And he sang, he picked it up, sang in Spanish, and did this like pop punk thing that he was, you know, again, his name, Luke Brody. And so I really want to celebrate the love that I have for Luke and how special of a human he is. And the song that I want to pick is the first one off his record that he released called Lo Siento.
Any last things you want to pitch, throw?
Dude, we're alive. We're amazing. We're alive. Let's keep it going. You know, you're struggling. Reach out. Don't fucking hide. Let's go.
Preach. Thanks for joining me, Ben.
I appreciate you, brother.
was Luke Brody, and I want to thank Ben for being on the show. It was a, you know, a very enlightening show. The guy is full of positivity, and one day I will have him in the studio. Next week we have a guest. It's time to wrap this up. This show wouldn't be made possible if not for the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, which is in Uptown Waterloo. You can get their stuff on, well, you can get it, I guess you can, they're everywhere. Okay, I can't think right now. It's the holidays. It's the holidays. Holidays. That's why I can't think right now. Anyways, I digress. So, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. And I hope you have a great holiday, okay? And go pick up Crummy Cookie Dough. It's, you know, eat just the way it is or bake it to a kick-ass cookie, even if it makes it to the oven at all. Pick that up for your relative or your, you know, whoever you want, all right? So this is the last song. My mom told me to play a Christmas song. I said, I'm not playing a Christmas song. I said, I'm not playing a Christmas song. That's what I said. I'm not playing a Christmas song. However, I'm going to play a Christmas song. All right, but I'm going to play my Christmas song. I'm going to play the Christmas song I want to play because I'm everything. No, I'm not everything. I'm nothing. My guest is everything. Next week, we'll have another guest who's everything. For now, let's end it. Be safe, San Diego, KW. This goes out to my mom. This is the Killers, and they're saying, please, don't shoot me.
Oh, Santa, I've been waiting on you.
That's funny, kid, because I've been coming for you.
Oh, Santa, I've been killing just for fun.
Well, the party's over, kid, because I got a bullet in my gun.
A bullet in your what?
Ain't no getting around this. Life is hard. But look at me. I turned out all right.
Hey, Santa, why don't we talk about it? Work it out.
Believe me, this ain't what I wanted. I love all you kids. You know that. Hell, I remember when you were just 10 years old playing out there in the desert. Just waiting for a sip of that sweet Mojave rain.
In the sweet Mojave rain, the boy was on his own. Don't shoot me, Santa Claus, I've been a clean living boy, I promise you. Did every little thing you asked me to, and I can't believe the things I'm going through. Hey, Santa Claus. The sun is going down and Christmas is near. Just look the other way and I'll disappear forever. Children on the street, they tease me.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.